Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 477, Science Faction, your weekly corona update. Here are the numbers for today, August 23rd, 2020. Infected stands at just under 22.3 million worldwide. Infected in the U.S., around 5.83 million. Deaths worldwide, around 806,000. Deaths in the U.S., about 180,000. Same caveats I always put on there. A lot of people are dying who aren't getting recorded in there. A lot of people are sick who are not being tested, and therefore we don't know. All right, on to the week's corona news. Article number one. Vaccines given through the nose may be better than those injected. This is right out of this week's Nature. And this looked at some of the trial vaccines that are going through animal models right now. And in one particular one, in a mouse model, after being injected with the vaccine and then exposed to SARS-CoV-2, the mice did not show infections in their lungs, but they did have a little bit of viral DNA in their lungs. Now, that's with the injection. However, when they took that very same vaccine and gave it as a nasal spray, not only had no infectious virus in their lungs, but they also didn't have viral RNA in their lungs. That's really important because it indicates that there's a much stronger reaction when it's done with a nasal spray, hence there's not even any RNA lying around of that virus. Your immune system has completely handled it. That's really neat for a few reasons. Number one, those terrified little bitches like myself who hate shots, it'll be a little bit easier. Not that I wouldn't get it just because I had it shot, but it'll be a little bit nicer. Number two, when you take the shot aspect, when you take the needle aspect out of it, you take the necessity of having a medical provider there. Theoretically, if it's just a nasal spray, if this is Flonase, you could pick this up at a supermarket and do it to yourself, right? In most cases, there's not going to be any need for any kind of medical personnel there. That's going to be huge in administration because right now a bottleneck will be the methods to administer this. You know, not just producing the vaccine itself, but then having the infrastructure and the hospitals and the doctors and the phlebotomists and all the people that actually inject this thing and usually the refrigeration and stuff that has to go along with that. Imagine the difference between that and then just dropping by your local CVS, picking up a six pack for you and your family, coming home and shooting up your nose real quick before you go. It's a night and day difference. Especially if it turns out that the nasal spray is actually much more effective. This obviously also helps balance out the kind of have versus have not dilemma of when the vaccine first comes out, the people who have better access to health and insurance and doctors will be the ones who can get it better. If this is something you pull off the shelf at the CVS and put it in your own nose without any doctor available, without any doctor needed, then that's much more likely to be something that is distributed in an egalitarian fashion early on. All right, second article of this week, also out of Nature, really interesting retrospective analysis showed that in Singapore, early on in the infection, they found a variant of SARS-CoV-2 that was going through Singapore. And this particular variant was missing a chunk of DNA that had two genes, ORF7B and ORF8. We have seen these mutations before. There was a variant of SARS-1 back in 2002 that ended up having a similar thing. That, at least on ORF8, that kind of indicates that that is maybe something that is selectively advantageous in certain circumstances, but not anymore. By the way, this strain is no longer running around in the wild that we can tell. It seems to have gone extinct in Singapore, probably because Singapore had some really good containment efforts for many strains, so many of their stuff went extinct, but this seems to have gone extinct. What's interesting is when they look back at the patient analysis of the differences, none of the about 30 people who had the mutated version ever needed oxygen or anything like that. But just under a third of the people who had a regular non-mutated version of the virus did need oxygen, indicating that this might be a particular one that makes the virus less dangerous to us. That's always good because, as always, you know, if we could find the cowpox, the really weak version of something that can give us immunity to the other version and then just get infected with that other one, then that's kind of a de facto vaccine. Now, obviously, that's not our ideal goal. We would like an actual vaccine. That's less likely to put you in a hospital or do long-term damage, but there's always this. And then more importantly, when we see these natural mutations that cause decreased, you know, death rates or whatever in a population, well, that gives us a hint as to how we might be able to come up with vaccines or viruses or other things to then fight it, because we now know at least one thing works. We know this is important, and when we disrupt this, something happens that makes this thing less deadly, and that's good to know for us in order to fight disease in other ways. All right, and lastly, article number 3. I saw this one popping up all over the internet, so I really wanted to jump into it. I want to focus on this one a little bit. Russia has announced that they are about to roll out their COVID vaccine. Now, this kind of came out of nowhere, right? Russia is not leading the pack. Russia has no vaccines in phase 3 trials. Heck, just a few months ago, we caught Russia trying to hack into the US and Great Britain, and I think China too. We caught them trying to hack into our medical databases to see what our research was doing on corona, because Russia, good at hacking, not great at research, okay at research, not great. So they'd rather just try and steal other people's, but they were obviously not the cutting edge. They're trying to steal everybody else's stuff. They're trying to get their stuff into trials. They're not even phase 3 yet. And then all of a sudden, this is, I think, the 11th or something of this month, Putin announces, hey, we got a vaccine and we're rolling it out. Meanwhile, everybody's like, excuse me, we have like half a dozen vaccines that are already in phase 3 trials yet, and we're not rolling ours out. How is it that you have one rolling out and you're not even there yet? So I actually think this is a brilliant move by Putin. I don't think he really has a desire to roll out their vaccine yet. I just think he's the guy who looks at the racetrack. He realizes he's in 7th place in the race. There's no way he's going to win. So he just stands up and announces, no, I actually just won the race. You guys didn't know. I wasn't playing by your rules. Different type of race. I won it. And then walks off, seemingly triumphant after having lost the race. So I think that's what he's up to. But they are in development of a pretty interesting vaccine. They use a 2-part vaccine where they take a common cold virus, an adenovirus, and they genetically modify it to have the same ACE2 spike protein that we all now know coronavirus has and uses to get into human cells. Therefore, it trains the body to attack that ACE2 spike protein, but the virus itself can't hurt you. You know, the worst you're going to get is a cold. Meanwhile, your body gets trained on how to kick the crap out of coronavirus. The reason this is smart is they use 2 different adenoviruses, 2 different common cold viruses. So they give you one, both modified with the spike protein, and then they wait for a while and they give you the second one. The reason this is smart is, think about this. If you gave somebody an adenovirus with the modified spike protein, it might be the case that your body reacts to it in such a way that it attacks it without necessarily attacking the spike protein, or not efficiently attacking the spike protein. It might go after a different part of the adenovirus. But if you give them 2 different viruses with that one thing shared between them, then that's the thing your immune system is going to learn to attack. So it's a really neat way to not use the actual dangerous virus, but train the immune system almost as accurately as if you had. So a really smart system, but again, hasn't really gone through the trials, has essentially no research published. Keep in mind, we were publishing research on early vaccine candidate trials in March. So like no research published. Super behind the curve, no phase 3, but they're rolling it out, everybody. They're rolling it out. Again, I love this because I saw a bunch of stuff online like, hey, look, why can't the U.S. catch up? Okay, we're way ahead. We just don't have that PR machine, or we're worse at it, however you want to say it. But Russia is not ahead of anybody, maybe like Lithuania or something. They're really not ahead of anybody. They're just announcing they've won while they're in 7th place. However, they do have a very interesting vaccine candidate in trials. Now, they could, theoretically, I just want to make this clear, they could tomorrow roll out barrels of this shit and just start injecting people in St. Petersburg. That isn't the same thing. They haven't gone through the same process, and the likelihood is that that would A, not be nearly as effective as if it would have gone through the right trials, or B, quite frankly, could be dangerous. I've said this before when we're talking about these one-off vaccines. This is a time where anti-vaxxers actually have a point. One-off vaccines, including ones for like the swine flu, have been known to cause damage before, including Guillain-Barré syndrome, stuff like that. Now, that's not the common cold. That's not the measles. It's not a regular vaccine because we're pretty good at producing those and weeding that out in phase 3 trials. But if you didn't have those trials, like Russia doesn't, then that may very well be a risk that everybody is taking when they go get that, especially a 2-part vaccine. That might be a problem. So something to think about. Now, you're probably never going to see this vaccine outside of Russia because almost every first world country just has standards that won't allow it. It's like the same reason you can't import Chinese cars into the US where they're like, no, you can't use candles for headlights, assholes. It's the same thing where like nobody would allow this because it hasn't been properly tested or vetted. The research isn't being published and there's no phase 3 trials. This is not going to be coming to your door, but it will be interesting to see how it affects Russia and what the long-term effects are, if any. And if not, good for them. I hope they stumbled upon something that works, and I hope a bunch of their population doesn't get sick, because the fewer people in the world that get this virus, the better, wherever they are. So my heart goes out to you, Russia. Hope your crazy, non-scientific, just shot-in-the-dark vaccine works. But I'm going to go ahead and wait for the one that Pfizer made that went through phase 3 trials. All right, thank you guys for listening to this week's Corona Update, where you learned all about how taking a vaccine through the nose might be better than an injection. how a less powerful mutation of SARS-CoV-2 was identified in Singapore, and how Russian has a lot of talk, but not a lot of good science behind their vaccine. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 478.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.